you want to quickly illustrate what bad audio sounds like, you will just say it's like a Blue Yeti set to the omnidirectional polar pattern set on the middle of a desk 4 feet away from your mouth. And that's what a lot of streamers and a lot of beginning podcasters do. And it gives it a very bad rap.
Welcome back to the Gaming Careers Podcast, a show about the tools, techniques, and the people in the live streaming industry. In today's episode, we're going to be diving into the results of the latest video I've just published, where I looked at the top 250 streamers on Twitch and analyzed exactly what microphones they're using. I brought with me a very special guest, Andrew Scott, of a YouTube channel called Podcastage. He reviews all kinds of microphones, audio interfaces, and really helps podcasters and streamers choose the best audio setups for their content. We're going to be talking about a ton of different microphones and options for streamers, as well as some advice for people that aren't ready to upgrade their microphone but want to improve the quality of their sound. So without any further wait, let's get into the show. So, Bandrew, you obviously have a ton of experience when it comes to microphones, interfaces, and all things sound. I think you're the perfect person to speak with as we dive into this in a little bit more detail about this streaming microphone study. First of all, how are you? Are you keeping yourself well in this quarantine? And what microphone are you using today to speak to us across the North Atlantic?
Oh, I am doing perfectly. This sounds terrible, but this is my dream world. I've been practicing for this because I am such an antisocial hermit already. It's perfect. The microphone I am using is the Manly Reference Cardioid running into the Universal Audio X8. So this is not a typical streaming microphone, not something you would want for that, but I'm just playing around having a bit of fun with it.
How much is that microphone, out of interest?
$3,000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so when we're going to talk about expensive mics in this podcast here today, you think these are all cheap as chips?
Not really, because when I started my channel, I had no money and I bought all of it with credit cards, which is first piece of advice, don't do that. Don't buy gear on credit cards, but I've slowly acquired some nicer gear. So, but this, the cheap stuff isn't cheap as chips. It's still, I understand people's budgets and their constraints.
Right. Well, why don't we start off with the probably the biggest question, I would say, is the staggering stat that 44.5%, I think it was, let's just say 45% of the top 250 streamers on Twitch are using the Shure SM7B, something I would consider as an expensive microphone. It seems to be sort of one of the higher end microphones that people are using on Twitch. Why is the Shure SM7B so universally popular, first of all, in podcasting? And do those reasons then translate into streaming too, do you think?
Would it be wrong for me to say because it's the best? that's a bit of sarcasm. I do love that microphone, but I don't think it's the right choice for everybody. I think the reason why it is so popular and why we've seen that growth and adoption of it is because of people like Joe Rogan. And that's where it started, but then it's perpetuated. People see other people using it, so they buy it. Then they start using it. Then other people see that person using it, and they buy it. And it's this self-perpetuating cycle. So I think it's more of a trend than people doing fully fledged research and determining this is going to be the best microphone that fits my use case, my voice, my room, everything. I think it is a bit more of a trend. And I unfortunately see a lot of people misusing the SM7B. It hurts so badly to see it. I've seen people speaking into the side of the SM7B. And that tells me that that person didn't do proper research, or at least they don't care that much about audio. So they're not going to take the time to learn their gear and how to properly set it up and use it. So I think it is a bit of a trend. Although it is a really good microphone, I want to make that very clear. It's one of my all-time favorites, probably my number one or number two. So I do think it is a really good podcasting microphone, and the main thing that sticks out to me about it is how smooth and pleasant it is to listen to. And when you're speaking or listening to somebody for hours on end, one of the main factors is it should not be a fatiguing microphone. It shouldn't be painful to listen to. And I think that translates perfectly to streaming, because streaming, just like the Joe Rogan podcast, goes on for 3 or 4 hours. So if you had an overly bright, really sharp microphone or really crisp microphone like the one I'm using right now, and we were talking for 8 hours, the viewers and listeners might get a little bit sick of it. Their ears might get tired and they might have to shut it off and take a break. So in that regard, I think it translates really well to streaming because it is also a really long form medium.
You mentioned Joe Rogan and that being sort of the catalyst in the podcasting world where people copied that massively popular podcast and saw that he was using the SM7B and then took it into their own shows. Do you think the first person to use it in streaming took it from podcasting or actually did the research and realized that this was, you know, a good microphone, a dynamic microphone, so it would reject some of the noise?
I honestly don't know. That would be pure speculation. I would love to think that the first person who picked it up for streaming did some really thorough research. They did some comparisons between the RE20, the 7B, the Procaster, and found this is the best one for me. I don't know if that's the case, though. I'm guessing it was likely, oh, the Thriller effect. It was used on Michael Jackson's Thriller. Or I saw it on Joe Rogan, and then I saw it on Chris D'Elia's podcast, and then I saw it on H3H3, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, totally. And you mentioned some of the other mics that we saw in the top five there, the RE20 and the Procaster. The one that really stood out to me, I think I always assumed that the SM7B was going to be the most popular. I was just kind of shocked at how popular it was with effectively one in every two streamers using it. But the one that surprised me maybe even more than that was to see the Blue Yeti ranking so highly, because that has been sort of, in streaming world, the first microphone that people get that they actually spend a bit of their hard-earned cash on. It's when you're starting out and you're Googling what microphone for streaming, there's probably a five-year-old result that says, get the Blue Yeti. It's a USB microphone. You don't have to deal with interfaces or anything difficult. It's pretty simple, aside from the fact that people still talk into the top of it rather than sort of side addressing. Why is that ranked so highly? You know, why are streamers firstly not upgrading from it? Do they need to upgrade from the Blue Yeti, or is it a perfectly good choice?
I think the reason we see the Blue Yeti so popular is I think it was one of the first acceptable or pretty darn good USB microphones out there. It's been around for over a decade now. And a decade ago, I don't think there was much competition there. So a lot of people, that was the first option where they found something and said, I can plug this into my USB port and it sounds incredible, especially compared to the built-in microphone on my computer. So I think it was really the first to market, but also the availability. I don't know if y'all have Best Buys over in England, but it's a large chain of electronic stores. And they have a few microphones in there, the most prominent being the Blue Yeti. So a lot of streamers probably go to Best Buy to pick up games or webcams or anything. And right next to that, they see a Blue Yeti and think, well, I need a microphone. Let's get that. But it also, in my opinion, is probably the same thing as the SM7B. They see it used on a bunch of streams. They Google and find a seven-year-old article saying this is the best microphone for live streaming or for podcasting. It's not, but it is still pretty good. So they end up getting the microphone, saying, I'm pretty happy with this. And they don't really, they're not audiophiles. They're not crazy people like myself. So they're perfectly fine with it. They just think it does the job. And that's a perfectly fine mindset to have. So I think it is a little bit of a trend. It's also the accessibility of it. It's the ease of use. And can it be a good choice? It can. And it's hard to say that it's a bad choice when you constantly see these sales where if you buy the Blue Yeti, you get a $70 game for free. Or I don't know if that's how it is.
Yeah, I've seen that before, especially now that Blue is owned by Logitech. They quite often pair the Blue Yeti with the Logitech C920. And those are like the de facto webcam microphone bundle that people are spending money when they're first getting into streaming. So it makes a lot of sense, I think, like the Logitech Blue acquisition. But with the Blue Yeti, I feel like part of the problem is you can obviously make an expensive mic like a Shure SM7B sound rubbish, but the Blue Yeti, especially when it comes on its default stand, I think so many streamers put that on their desk, sometimes even behind their keyboard, and then it's at least a foot away from their mouth, and they haven't researched the polar patterns or anything like that. And it's picking up all this keyboard noise, the fan noise from their computer. So I feel like the Blue Yeti is a good choice and it can be priced really well. And it could be a great microphone if you put it on an arm and get it close to your mouth and all these kind of things. But so many people buy it, sit it down, and then are really disappointed by the audio quality because they haven't really done the research required.
Yeah, that's become a meme in the podcasting scene where if you want to quickly illustrate what bad audio sounds like, you will just say it's like a Blue Yeti set to the omnidirectional polar pattern set on the middle of a desk 4 feet away from your mouth. And that's what a lot of streamers and a lot of beginning podcasters do. And it gives it a very bad rap. I have been a vocal critic of the Blue Yeti, but I am doing that to make a point. It's not a bad mic. It's just designed in a way that allows for it to be misused so easily. And people don't read the effing manual, and they should. It will tell you how to set it up.
Yeah, exactly. I've actually seen that I don't know how long they've been doing this, but they certainly didn't do it with the first Blue Yeti that I saw. In the packaging now, they actually have a diagram saying, do not use the microphone like this, speaking into the end of it. I don't know if they've added that because of the amount of complaints that they've got from people saying, my microphone sounds awful and you're just not speaking into the right part of it.
Yeah, I've seen politicians using the Blue Yeti speaking into the top of it, and it hurts so much. It would take 15 seconds to look at the manual because they do provide that graphic. They do provide that graphic, but nobody cares. Or a large number of people don't care. I can't say nobody cares because we're talking about it. We care.
We care. But maybe we're in the minority here.
I think we are.
So what would you suggest in that beginner range for a microphone then? Because to me, I still think USB makes a lot of sense for somebody that's getting into streaming for the first time. And they probably don't have the technical understanding or the wallet to be able to afford a XLR mic plus an interface and things like that. So, you know, if you're looking in that $100 range, is there any microphones that really stand out to you that would massively outperform the Blue Yeti?
Massively outperform? Not necessarily, because I do think the Blue Yeti can be a great microphone. A few options that I think are great are all dynamic microphones. They are all USB microphones, but they also have XLR ports. So there is a really straight upgrade path there. It is the Samson Q2U, which is $50. The Audio-Technica ATR2100 USB, which is $70, and the AT2005 USB, which is $80 or $90. And all of those are USB and XLR. You can start by just plugging them directly into your computer. They are dynamic. They have a really great background noise rejection. You'll have to listen to them to see which of the tones you like. But I would kind of disagree with you on the fact that under $100, it would be difficult to go the XLR route because there is an XM8500, which is a $25 dynamic microphone, which sounds phenomenal. And then if you also pick up the Behringer UM2, which used to be $30, unfortunately now it's $45-ish, but still, those paired together, you're looking at $70, and it sounds way better than it has any right to be. So those are four options that I would recommend that I think a lot of streamers would benefit from. And you still have a little bit of wiggle room in your budget to pick up a boom arm, which you can get for $15, wrap some duct tape around the spring so you don't get the jingling, and you're golden.
So obviously we'll put links to all of those microphones that you talked about in the show notes. So if people do want to check out, they don't have to rewind and get the exact model number down. But there's two kind of tidbits of information there that I want to dive into. You can choose which one we do first. Firstly, like the USB versus XLR argument. And then the other thing you mentioned was the dynamic and condenser argument. So which one do you want to tackle? And let's go through some of the differences and what people should be looking out for.
Let's start with USB versus XLR because that will get me a lot less hate. I think the main difference there is XLR is a lot more granular, or at least it allows you to adjust a lot more of what's in your signal chain. USB is more plug and play and you're stuck. You get what you get. XLR, you can change out the cables, you can change out the preamps, you can change out the interfaces, and it allows you to really fine-tune what you want. But the main thing, the main difference, especially for streamers, is it's much easier to get real-time processing with an XLR microphone. With a USB microphone, I think the only piece of software that I'm aware of would be VoiceMeeter Banana, but I'm not a Windows user. I don't know if there's any other less popular options out there. I think that's the only one. With XLR mics, you can get a DBX 286S, run that into your interface. It could go with the Go XLR. There's the Rodecaster Pro. There are a plethora of options. There are so many more options in the XLR realm that allow you to get the sound that you want. It is a bit more expensive. That's one downside. But you have the control, as opposed to USB, where you get what the producer of the microphone wants you to get.
Right, I see. So even though you might be spending a little bit more, it sounds like the upgrade path, as well as the control that you have over the actual audio, gives you a lot more for your money, really. So sometimes it would make sense, even rather than picking up one of these expensive USB microphones, to maybe go for something cheaper in the XLR world. And you mentioned a couple of cheap interfaces, and then you can have more control, as well as if you do want to upgrade further down the line, you can go that route.
Yeah, and that's why I am such a huge advocate for those three microphones, the Q2U, ATR2100, and AT2005. Those are all USB and XLR. So you can start with them as USB microphones. Then as you grow in your career, as your stream grows in popularity, you start to get some more donations, you can decide, well, now I want to up my audio game. I want to use this microphone, get a DBX, get an interface, and get more control over my sound.
Okay, amazing. I think that's really useful. I haven't heard it explained so simply like that before. How about the differences between dynamic and condenser microphones? Because that was certainly something when I started out that I was Googling and not really able to understand the differences as I do now.
Okay, I'm going to just say the contentious part about this argument. I think that dynamic microphones pick up less background noise than condenser microphones. And I will preface anything else by saying this is a broad generalization, and I am sure that there are condenser microphones out there that do pick up less background noise than standard dynamic mics. And in a perfect world where the diaphragm size in the microphone, the sensitivity of the microphones, the polar patterns, the frequency response, and everything are the exact same, the only difference is one is a condenser, one is a dynamic, I am sure there would be no difference, but we don't live in that world. There are no dynamics and condensers with those same specifications. So my theory is dynamic microphones typically don't have a frequency response that extends from 20 hertz to 20 kilohertz. They typically roll off a bit of the top end. So just based on that, it's going to pick up less noise in the upper frequency range from maybe 15 kilohertz to 20 kilohertz. Also, I think we see less background noise due to a limitation of dynamic microphones. With condenser microphones, they have a very hot output signal. So regardless of the preamp you have enough gain to set the microphone up 3 feet away from you, crank up the gain on your preamp, you're good to go. You're getting a healthy level. But with dynamics, they're really quiet. So you will end up cranking your gain to 100%. You get all this hiss in the recording. And the only solution is get the microphone closer to your mouth, decrease the gain. And what that accomplishes is increasing or improving your signal to noise ratio, the signal being your voice, the noise being the background noise or the reverb. So I think those are the two main characteristics, in my opinion. Send all your hate to me, I don't care. That's why I think there is such a big difference. One is a limitation and one is by design.
So with background noise rejection, which you said typically dynamic microphones do a better job of because you have them much closer to your mouth and because they don't run quite as hot, I think one thing that a lot of streamers want to remove from their audio is background noise, things like fans, air conditioning, the typing of their keyboards. You know, a lot of gaming keyboards are loud mechanical switches, and especially if you have your microphone close to your keyboard, which you're going to because you're sat at your keyboard, then you're going to get a lot of background noise from those clicky switches. So does it make more sense then, you think, for streamers to look at dynamic microphones, or is it not as simple as that?
I think Generally, yes. But if you are going to be going the XLR route and you can get some outboard gear like the DBX or the Go XLR, those all have noise gates in them, which can help you with that. So if you really want a condenser microphone and you want that more extended sound, that more natural sound that goes from 20 hertz to 20 kilohertz, you can go that route and then know that you're going to have to be a little bit more aggressive with your noise gating. And it may not sound as natural then. When I recommend this, it is a broad generalization saying, yeah, your best bet is to look at dynamic mics. Then if somebody comes back and says, well, I really want a condenser, then okay, yeah, we can look at some options there and then look at some outboard gear or voice meter banana and see what you can do with a noise gate to attenuate some of that. But the most important aspect, I want to say this, to reducing the keyboard noise or your computer fans, make sure you're, if you have a multi-pattern microphone like the Blue Yeti, make sure you're set to the correct polar pattern, which looks like a little heart or a little butt. That's the cardioid mode. What that means is the back of the microphone doesn't pick up much sound, so you should locate the microphone and point the back of it towards all the loud sound sources, the keyboard, the computer fan, your mouse, whatever, and that will make worlds of difference.
I see. I checked out your podcast actually quite recently. And heard you talking about a story about Lady Gaga doing a live stream or a recording from her home and having the wrong polar pattern on. Could you explain that story quickly?
Oh, that broke my heart. Lady Gaga was doing a live aid concert. I don't know what it was called. It was for COVID-19. I don't know if we can say that without your podcast getting demonetized, but but she was doing a concert at home. She had a vintage Neumann U47, which is a $15,000 to $20,000 microphone. It has a cardioid polar pattern, meaning the back doesn't pick up sound. And in the video, you could see that she was singing into the back of it. So all you could hear was the reverb from her room, and it was one of the worst sounding performances I have ever heard. It broke my heart.
I mean, that surprises me because surely somebody that has gotten her the microphone, like, and set that up for her, or is she just pulling out a 15 to 20 grand microphone that she has lying around her house and putting it in the wrong position?
She's got the money to do it. I mean, more power to her. I hope somebody told her, this is a classic microphone. This is the top tier. This is what everybody in recording studios aim for. Here's how you set it up. But maybe that didn't happen. Maybe she's at a point where people are scared to tell her that. I don't know.
You should get in touch with her, absolutely. And you could be Lady Gaga's advisor on how to set up a microphone.
That would be terrifying if it took some dopey guy on Twitter tweeting at her to get her to set up the mic. Because she has access to some of the best engineers in the world. I'd imagine there are many better people that would be able to help her.
I mean, I just think that's one of the funniest stories. Maybe she would be better off with a Blue Yeti and then never changing the cardioid pattern. And she'd be speaking into any side of the microphone would be great.
Yeah.
It'd probably sound better.
This is a perfect example of where the Blue Yeti might be the right choice for her. There we go.
We found the right user for the Blue Yeti.
Exactly.
It's Lady Gaga. Talking about testing microphones, I think this is something that really is difficult for people that are in the market to buy a microphone, their first microphone or an upgrade. It's really difficult to know what you're going to sound like going through a microphone. You can watch streamers and you can watch YouTube videos and reviews like yours of plenty of different microphones, but it's so much of it is down to your voice and the environment that you're recording in and what you're actually wanting to record as well. So how do you go about testing microphones? Is it as simple as just watching YouTube videos, or is there anything else you can do?
Unfortunately, I think the access to a large number of these microphones is pretty limited. I know guitar centers here in the States, they do have some microphones set up, but the library there is limited. It's sure a couple Rode microphones, a couple AKG mics, but not all the microphones that people are going to be looking at. So short of buying them, testing them, determining I don't like them or I do like them, and then sending them back, the best route that I think is to find multiple reviews, and determine, okay, who do I trust? Who do I disagree with? And then also find people who have a similar voice to you. And be honest with yourself. I know a lot of guys would like to think they have this boomy radio voice and they have the golden voice. You don't. You don't. I don't. No. No, we're stuck with the voices we have. So don't lie to yourself. Find somebody who sounds like you and hear how they sound through different microphones or through the microphone they have, and use that as a baseline to determine what microphones do I want to test on myself, because that will only get you so far. You're still unfortunately going to have to get them and put your voice through them in your room and see how they fit your scenario.
And I guess there's a lot more to it than just the microphone, especially if you're looking at XLR microphones. You need to know what interface they're running through, and if you're looking to pick up a similar interface, how much does an interface change the sound of a microphone? Is there really some noticeable differences, especially when it comes to streaming where everything's so compressed anyway?
I actually ran a test a little bit ago in my Discord server, and I recorded a microphone through a $150 interface, the Focusrite 2i2, and then I ran it through a $2,800 interface, the Universal Audio X8. And the differences were negligible. And that was a high quality recording. That was still a lossy recording, an M4A file, but still pretty high quality. So when it comes to streaming, I don't think you're going to get any real benefit from going from 150 to 500 to 2800, unless you're looking for a specific feature set. You're not going to get many benefits in terms of better analog to digital converters, because it's compressed to hell anyways. It's, what does this interface do? Does it have the processing I need? Does it have the gain that's necessary to drive my SM7B? Or do I just want to use the interface I have and pick up a Fed head or a cloud lifter? It really comes down to the feature set that you need, especially for streaming.
I mean, let's dive into that a little bit, because last year, maybe 18 months ago, I think we obviously got the Go XLR, which is sort of one of the few products that have been specifically designed for streamers, really. And there's a few interfaces that have been designed for podcasters, but the Go XLR really does come across as a product that's been built for streamers. It obviously does have some extra bells and whistles compared to a normal standard interface. And if you're saying that there's not really much difference in the hardware and in these sort of $100 to $500 range interfaces, what are your thoughts on the Go XLR? Do you think it's a good piece of kit, or is it a bit gimmicky?
I think it's wonderful. I think it's great that somebody realized that there's a market there. They realized what the market was. They did their research. What are the tools that streamers need? And they packaged it into a relatively affordable box. I say relatively affordable because I think it's $500.
Right. Yeah, I think it was $400. And then there was the tax differences that happened in the US.
Yeah. So it's relatively affordable when you compare it to all that it does. If you had to buy all of those components externally and then find out how to do all that analog routing for all of the input sources, that would get very expensive very quickly. So when you get to a point where you need to start doing that, that is an excellent option. And I think TC Helicon is genius for noticing that market and filling it so well.
And what about the Go XLR Mini? Because I don't know if you've been able to test that as well, but for me, certainly, I find that I don't use a lot of these features that are on the Go XLR, things like the voice changer and the sampler. I almost never use. I played around with them when I first got it because it was cool. It was something you could do on stream, give yourself a different voice. But now I never really use that half of the Go XLR. So the Go XLR Mini, for me, I've actually been thinking about moving to it because it still has all of the routing. It still has the faders where I can control different things like the volume of my music, as well as my microphone or my Discord chat. But it takes up way less space on my desk. It can be completely powered by USB. And it's obviously a lot cheaper for people to purchase too.
Yeah, I think that's smart of them to offer different tiers. And this goes back to what we were talking about determining what your individual use case is. And then you have to determine how much you're willing to spend on that. So if you're somebody who likes to goof around and you like the soundboard and being able to play random noises, is that worth the extra $200 that you would have to spend on the Go XLR compared to the Go XLR Mini? That's something that each individual person is going to have to weigh, but I think it's super smart for them to offer that more affordable, little bit pared down version of it.
And do you think we're ever going to see microphone companies also take this route that GoXLR and TC Helicon have, where they've realized how big the streaming market is becoming and start to offer some products specifically marketed at streamers, you know, similar to how the Rode PodMic has obviously been marketed to podcasters. Do you think we're going to see, you know, Rode have a stream mic, or is there just not enough of a difference and everybody understands that kind of the requirements for podcasting and streaming are pretty similar?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think podcasting and streaming they overlap quite heavily because they are all done in our spare bedrooms. Most of us don't have room treatment. We all want a good-looking microphone. So I think the similarities are there. And I don't know I was thinking about this. I was trying to determine what would make a streaming microphone. What would make a streaming microphone different than a podcasting microphone? And I couldn't find anything. The only company that I have seen try to do it, and I was really, really proud of them, it was actually Razer. I know Razer gets a lot of trash, but Razer Siren, they released a dynamic version of that USB microphone, and it had a built-in compressor. And I loved the fact that they tried to do that. Unfortunately, they did not succeed in making a good product, but I respect them so much more than all of these companies who are coming out with another multi-pattern condenser microphone because all streamers need an omnidirectional and a stereo. They don't. So I was so excited when Razer did that, but unfortunately they missed the mark. Hopefully more people take that cue and try to focus on making a microphone with a single cardioid polar pattern that sounds amazing and does good at background noise rejection and puts that out, as opposed to trying to eat Blue's lunch with trying to mimic the Blue Yeti.
I think there was actually one microphone in the top 250 that was the Razer Siren. So it was in the stats, it just wasn't big enough to represent an area in any of the pie charts that I generated. Talking of the brands that have come up most in the data, we obviously saw Shure taking 45%, pretty much completely because of the SM7B. Audio Technica was up there, Blue, Rode, Electro Voice. Is there any brands that streamers are sleeping on that are more common in the podcasting world, or is it all the sort of same microphones that are coming up between podcasting and streaming?
I have some sleeper microphones, but they're being slept on everywhere, I think, in the podcasting and streaming market. The first one that comes to mind is an XLR dynamic mic. It is the SE Electronics SE-V7. It's a super cardioid dynamic, I think, so it does really good with background noise rejection. It is insanely smooth sounding, and it's around $100. So I think that's something people should look into, but I understand streamers hate the handheld dynamic look. They look at that and they want to throw up. They want the SM7B look, so it doesn't really fit that. Another one is the Beyer Dynamic M201TG. That is another phenomenal sounding dynamic microphone. It's more of an instrument mic, but the BBC actually does use it for some voiceover, and once I tried that out, I fell in love with it, and I will rave about it until the day I die. It sounds incredible. So those are two dynamic microphones that are sleepers that I am a little bit disappointed by the fact that people don't love them as much as I do or speak about them as much as I do.
So you mentioned there that one of them looks, you know, more like a stage mic and people don't like to see those in streams. I hadn't actually thought about that, but that's a really interesting point that most podcasts, I would say, are audio only. I know video podcasts are becoming more and more popular, but certainly the real emphasis in a podcast is audio because people are usually listening to podcasts whilst outside of the COVID situation, commuting, going to the gym, doing grocery shopping, those kind of things. Whereas with streams, really the advice is that you need to have a webcam because it's just so hard to grow without people having some kind of connection with you as a streamer. So does the look of a mic actually become, you know, a real thing that you have to think about when you're choosing a microphone for streaming?
I'm such a curmudgeon. I want to say no because I think it's wrong to self-label yourself an audiophile, but I'm in it pretty deep. I think the sound quality is the most important thing. and we saw some folks on your list who were using the RE20. The number of people who I have heard say, I refuse to buy the RE20 because of the color, really discourages me. So I do understand that the look of a microphone is important. I wish it wasn't, though. I think the sound quality is the most important aspect that you should be looking at when you are selecting the microphone. But unfortunately, I don't think that's the case.
Let's end on some real advice for the people listening. What steps can a streamer take to improve the quality of their microphone sound without actually buying a new microphone or a new interface? Are there any little tidbits of info that you can share where somebody's going to improve the quality without having to spend a whole lot of money?
Absolutely. Absolutely there is. Number one, read the manual, please and thank you. You can also interpret that as learn the gear that you have, understand it, learn the ins and outs of it, learn the intricacies of it, learn the quirks of it, and understand how to get the best sound out of your gear as you can. Don't just rely on, I'll fix it in post, or I'll add this EQ to fix it, I'll add a noise gate to fix it. Figure out if you can get the sound as good as possible before you hit start streaming or before you hit start recording. An easy way to do that would be get the microphone closer to your mouth, especially if you don't have a treated room. As I alluded to earlier, this improves the signal-to-noise ratio, signal being your voice, noise being the reverb and the clickety-clack of your keyboard. Another one, I want to scream because I see this so much. Set your gain properly, please and thank you. What that means is set it so you are not clipping. Clipping is that obnoxious sound of distortion when you get too loud. And you can very easily accomplish this by setting your gain so you're hitting around negative 12 decibels, maybe negative 18 dB. If you're recording, you may have to boost it a little bit in your streaming software to get it up to a more acceptable level, but then at least you won't be clipping the analog to digital converter in your interface, because that's where that happens and it is unfixable once it's in there. Also, put any loud sound sources in the dead area of your microphone. We already talked about that. If you have a microphone, set it to cardioid. If you're the only speaker in the room, that means it picks up audio in the front, rejects audio from the back, and make sure the rear of the microphone is pointed at those loud sound sources, and that will reduce them as much as you possibly can. And the last thing, this may be unnecessary to say, but speak into the correct side of your microphone. Speak into the correct side of your mic. Do us all a favor.
Don't do a Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Amazing. I think this has been a super valuable conversation for anybody listening who wants to learn a little bit more about the audio gear that streamers are using and podcasters are using, and where there's some little hidden sleeper microphones in the value of less than $100, really. So I really appreciate you coming onto the show and telling all of the audience about those kind of things. Where can people find out more about you, your YouTube, and do you do any podcasts or live streams, anything like that?
Yeah. Well, first off, thank you for having me, Pete. This was an absolute blast. I always love talking about audio gear, so any chance that I have, I'll jump on it. You can find everything that I do at podcastage.com. That is podcastage.com. And you can also find my podcast at geeksrising.com. That's the podcast network that is a part of, and it is super fun. I yell at you about stuff regarding creation and how it affects you.
Guys, I hope you've enjoyed this episode of the podcast. I realize this week has been a bit audio heavy in terms of the video and podcast both being about the same topic, but I saw that Bandrew commented on the video and I thought this was a great opportunity to dive into some more detail with somebody that knew a lot more than me about microphones. As always, I appreciate all of the reviews we've had and anybody that has been sharing the podcast with their streaming friends, and I'll catch you guys in the next episode. Peace.